sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God who never leaves us. Amen. Last week was about good soil. We had the parable of the good soil. This week, well, you know what grows in good soil? Weeds. This week, the parable is about weeds and wheat, both of them growing in the good soil. Let me start with something that commentators have been pointing out for years. Many mainstream scholars believe that these explanations of the parables in Matthew's gospel, we had an explanation on the good soil text last week, a pretty extensive one actually, and then this week again, it's like, well, here's what this means. The explanations of the parables, many mainstream scholars suggest that these are later insertions and edits on Matthew's most original text. They think this because Jesus doesn't just say that he speaks in parables, in mysteries, you know, because you can't bear it right now, and then turn around and explain the parables, even if it's just to the disciples. I mean, the whole point of a parable is that it's open-ended. Some artists reveal exactly what is the meaning behind their artwork. It's true, but many let it be. They let their art be for us to interpret and enjoy and learn from and find more meaning in and layers of meaning in and return to year after year after year. Yes, these explanations are absolutely a part of Scripture, part of the canon, part of the Bible, you know, part of our lectionary today. So we need to look at them and read them and deal with them. But can we also hold them loosely? Albeit reverently. I mean, the explanation here says anyone who sins and does evil gets gathered and burned up in the fire. That's what the explanation says. If we're talking here about the life hereafter, that makes heaven a pretty empty place. Anyone who sins and does evil gets burned up in the fire. Also, it just doesn't track with Jesus' overarching message in Gospel of Matthew and throughout Scripture. Also, thirdly, how this passage has been used through history to point and name other people weeds. You know, who are the weeds? Man, Christians have taken the liberty of identifying weeds throughout the decades, just deciding who the weeds are. Gay people, women in leadership, people of color, indigenous people. Oh my goodness, the colonization implications here are immense. I can get fired up here and ahead of myself. Maybe we come back to some of this. How about we take a look at the parable itself, the parable part, the story that Jesus tells, the weeds and the wheat. So it's pretty straightforward, the story that he tells. There's good soil, and all of it grows together, the weeds and the wheat, all of it grows together because, Jesus says, the enemy snuck in while everyone was sleeping, it says, and sowed weeds. That's the parable. There's so much there, though. Whenever you're part of a good thing, whenever you're doing really good things and you're part of something really good, maybe part of a good organization and doing really good things, maybe part of a really good family, maybe you're part of a really good church and you're doing really good things. You're in a company, you're working for a company doing great things. You're in a good community or a good institution. Especially when you're a leader in all that goodness, you know that weeds will grow too, right? You know opposition just comes, right? Exactly when you're right on track, doing all the good things. There's an old quote. Whenever the gospel of love is preached and goes unchallenged, you can be pretty sure that it's not the gospel of love. I mean, as good things grow, as the gospel grows, as God's commonwealth grows, so do the weeds. Who hasn't experienced that? A church body stretched and finally started ordaining women as pastors in the 1970s. A certain church body did. And guess what started arriving in the central offices? Hate mail. Talk to bishops in the Lutheran Church in the 80s and 90s. I mean, when they were bishops in the 80s and 90s, about those letters that they received. Both shocking, and I'm sure many of you would just nod your head and say, yeah, that's it. That's exactly how it was, and we've still got a long way to go. But I've heard some of those bishops say, you know, most of them men, all of them men, let's be honest, say, that's how we knew we were on the right track, though, when we started getting those letters. Okay. That's just one example, of course. Opposition comes. The enemy, quote unquote, comes, which usually isn't just a single person, right? It's fear, it's resistance, it's anger, it's grief, it's short-sightedness, it's privilege and entitlement, it's unwillingness to trust God. All that comes, don't be surprised. As God's reign, as God's commonwealth grows, so do the weeds. But even more important here in this parable is the very clear message that we are not the ones who do the weeding. That's God. We are not the ones who do the weeding. That's Christ's job. Only Jesus is the gardener farmer. The one on the cover of our bulletin. The one who pulls up the weeds. Only Jesus. We're just the ones who create conditions for growth. Great preacher and pastor Barbara Brown Taylor famously says, God is more interested in growth than perfection. Isn't that great? God is more interested in growth than perfection. Only God is the final judge here, friends. This might sound obvious. I know, I feel like every time this text comes up, God is the farmer. God is the one who does the weeding, not us. But, you know, humans have been trying to be the judge, the gardener, the decider of who's in and who's out, the person on the cover of our worship folder here this week. The one who does the weeding. Humans have been trying to be that throughout history. We need to hear this again and again. We till the soil. That's what we do. We prepare it. We water it. We protect it. We create the conditions for growth and new life. God makes the final call. Amen? I mean, here's another thing to think about. I mean, that's really at the center, that God makes the final call. But here's another thing to think about. What's a weed anyway? I had a gardener, a really good gardener, say to me one time that her definition of a weed was simply anything she didn't want in her yard. So if you do want it, then it's not a weed. If you enjoy it, if you like the shape of it, look at the shape on the leaves, and, you know, it's not a weed anymore. Could there possibly be any weeds also that have actually been beneficial, even native to the soil? But somewhere, somehow, we've been taught or told that they're not welcome. They've been given a derogatory name. They've been called invasive and all kinds of other things. They must be destroyed. Am I still talking about plants here? Friends, God is the farmer. Christ is the gardener. We are merely the workers in the garden who do what God says. And God says, let them grow together and in that restraint from judgment that we get to practice. Restraint from judgment. In that rest from acting or pretending like there's no God who has the final say, we get to take a break from that. In that, there is freedom for us to be about the work of bringing forth growth, nurturing the weeds and wheat together, because God is God, and who knows which is which. By the way, you know, maybe what you also thought was wheat turns out to be pretty bad, pretty corrupt under the surface. Can we let God decide all that and busy ourselves instead with the tending of good soil? Finally, did you notice or can you read into this passage, into this parable, rest and even liberation? I mean, doesn't the householder actually free the slaves here for something else? Aren't they given a rest here? A break? We've had pillows in our pews this summer as a sign of God offering us a break, rest. They were prepared, remember, to go out into the hot sun all day. Master, they say, do you want us to go and pull the weeds? Maybe they were graced with Sabbath instead. No? Let them grow. At the heart of the ancient practice of Sabbath is that intentional prayer of letting God be God. Can we rest from acting and pretending like there's no God who has the final say? Can we take a break from that way of thinking and trust that there is a God who has the final say? I love the story that Pope John Paul XXIII every night would pray before he closed his eyes. It's your church, Lord. The Pope would say, it's your church, Lord. Take care of it. I'm going to bed. I mean, that's a creed. That's a statement of faith. I'd say what you will about whatever, we're Lutherans in the Roman Catholic Church, but that is a statement of faith. Can we live like this? Can we practice this too? And live like this when we open our eyes again, also, letting God be God. Going to bed, waking up again, stepping away, enjoying the rest and liberation that God has given you. Let the angels work. Let God be the judge. It's good news. We don't have to be. Which isn't to say that we sleep forever, but we do sleep. We do rest. God's got plenty for us to do when we wake up, just not weeding. God's got plenty for us to do, namely, share. Be about the work of sharing everything we have and creating conditions for growth. Commonwealth is God's commandment. That's what we're about to sing. But we do it together with God and under God's supervision. Trust the one who is above it all, in, with, and through it all. Friends, trust the one who is with us this day and always, who loves you unconditionally, even when you act weedish. Trust the one who cares for and forgives you unwaveringly, even when you fail to listen and learn. Friends, trust the one who stays with you and ventures out to find you even when you wander and stray. God is your rest and your peace. God is grace and love poured out for you this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.